Hannah Rosin started the research that eventually led to The End of Men as part of her work for Slate's women's section, Double X.
We started to track the news pretty closely about what was happening between men and women in this country and how things were changing. And it had been a couple of recessions, so I'd followed the news about the difficulties men were having. I'd followed that for a long time, and I really just wanted to do an update on that.
What Rosin found astounded her. While men foundered in the post-manufacturing economy, women, certainly by comparison with men, and by almost every measure, were thriving. Economists, for instance, told her,
"The economy has been sending a very clear message for the last 30 years, which is that not that any specific jobs are coming or going, or that you all have to be a nurse, because really, who can predict what jobs are going to be prevalent in the next 10, 15 years? Things are changing so quickly. But that you have to be nimble and flexible and able to retrain yourself and go back to school and be prepared for what the economy is throwing your way. And the great mystery of economics these days is why women hear that call and men don't. It's not because men are stupid and women are smart. It's really not. Like, men and women, you know, they test in the same level of intelligence, you know? It's some other amorphous quality, something like flexibility, hustle. Maybe it's just because women have been the underdog all these years, and so, you know, the underdog always scrambles the hardest, you know, and they'll switch places over time. I can't really diagnose with complete accuracy. I can just tell you what the picture looks like right now."
That is, a workforce now 50% women, more women in leadership roles, women graduating from college at a higher rate than men.
The education statistics are the clearest. I think what surprised me and what I write about in the book is how the fact that women are graduating at faster rates than men is true almost every country in the world. That I did not know before I started the book. So we're talking Middle Eastern countries, European countries, you know, in all these countries you've got these waves of highly educated women coming out of the local schools, and that in and of itself is transforming society. And then you have that affecting marriage patterns. You know, you suddenly have, for the first time ever in history, women doing what's called, obnoxiously by sociologists, marrying down, you know, which means, you know, historically women have always married up. You know, a woman in her late 20s is always looking for somebody who has better prospects than she has. And sociologists have measured this, you know, with some combination of income and college degree, women marry up. Now that's reversed itself in many countries around the world, just because there aren't enough men of that age group who have better college prospects and income ability than the women around them. And so women start to marry down, and that's an amazing phenomenon. You know, one of my more, let's say, out there chapters is about violence patterns and women starting to enact certain behaviors of sort of aggression that we normally associate purely with men. You know, and this is to counteract this idea that women are always, you know, gentler and nicer and, you know, definitely a certain way. I actually, you know, I think women are different and they lead in different ways, but it's not always nicer ways. And so I wanted to throw that in there just to show you that, you know, things are different than we think and than we have thought for thousands of years. They just are. If you open your eyes and look at the numbers from lots of different corners of America and the world, you'll notice that things are incontrovertibly different.
You've made all of this information that you gathered very palatable. You've not only drawn a lot of information together and interviewed a lot of statisticians and sociologists and such, but you talked to a lot of just folks out there who live in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's so important to me, and thank you for bringing that up. I, you know, a book that's a lot of dry facts, which telling you about the rise of women, I think would be like deadly dull personally, and it's not my style. And so what I try and do in this book is really, really bring it home. So almost every chapter is focusing on a particular couple and the relationship between them, or a particular town and how the dynamics have shifted in that town, or maybe a particular woman or a particular man, because I think otherwise it's useless. Like, unless people understand that this is affecting their homes, their lives, you know, their relationships, then they won't really pay attention. I mean, I think that's the more important part of the message, is what does this mean for me? You know, what does this mean for me and my colleagues at work? What does this mean for me and the, you know, woman or man who I'm dating or thinking of dating? What does this mean for my husband and I, you know? I think it's much more dramatic and relevant that way.
Hannah Rosin, author of the well-written, intriguing, and thoroughly researched new book, The End of Men and the Rise of Women. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Caston.
You and I have a reason to try. We'll make it over the hill. We survive and our love is alive, 'cause our love goes stronger still, and it always will. So is rain or shine, as the fates decide. And even if some trouble